Quickly the days that are numbered pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draws nigh. So heedless of danger we're living today. God's love and mercy we're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While He warned off the danger that lie in their path, but heed not His mercy and to kindle God's wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care. For where you have pleasure, their heart will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus, they daily thou trod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements, the mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. And those who so carelessly forgotten their God. As my Lord walked to Calvary, there was no beauty in that scene. He was bruised and put to shame there, as the crowd with a cheer and scream. It wasn't His fault nor the things He'd done, but for my sin He stood condemned. Now how could I be ashamed of Him? How could I be ashamed of that side dripping with blood? How could I be ashamed of that mocking crown that He wore? No, He had every reason to be ashamed of me. I could never be ashamed of Him. Now He's the same Lord today with His nail-pierced feet. And there's no beauty that His old world desires, and His holy word they won't be. But I'll take Him in the scorn I'll bear till my journey is complete. Because I could never be ashamed of Him. How could I be ashamed of that side dripping with blood? How could I be ashamed after the mocking crown that he wore. Though he had every reason to be ashamed of me, I could never be ashamed of him. Now he's the same Lord today with his nail-pierced feet. And there's no beauty that this old world desires, and his holy word they won't keep. But I'll take him and the scorn I'll bear till my journey is complete, because I could never be ashamed of him. How could I be ashamed of that side dripping with blood? How could I be ashamed of that mocking crown that he wore? Though he had every reason to be ashamed of me, I could never be ashamed of him. No, he had every reason to be ashamed of me, I could never be ashamed of him. If you travel down life's road, he is with you every day. With every step that you take, he walks ahead of you. And every night as you lay down, angels are camping all around. You'll never be alone, for he's in the midst. He's in the midst of our storm. He's in the valley we walk through, where two or three are gathering in his name, he'll be there too. When you feel so all alone, he'll be standing next to you. He's with us now. Our Lord is in the midst. In the prison they were thrown, all in silence weren't alone. They knew that God was there, he would see them through. But as the walls begin to shake, and their chains just fell away, they cried, behold our God, for he is in the midst. He's in the midst of our storm. He's in the valley we walk through, where two or three are gathered in his name, he'll be there too. When you feel so all alone, he'll be standing next to you. He's with us now. Our Lord is in the midst. In the prison they were thrown, Paul and Silas weren't alone. He knew that God was there and he would see them through. And as the walls began to shake, and oh, their chains just fell away, they cried, behold our Lord, for he is in the midst. He's in the midst of our storm. He's in the valley we walk through, where two or three are gathered in his name, he'll be there too. When you feel so all alone, he'll be standing next to you. He's with us now. Our Lord is in the midst.
Standing somewhere
in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one that always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. I shall know him, I shall know him as redeemed. By his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hand. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one that always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. I shall know him, I shall know him as redeemed. By his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hand. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one that always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power, sweet is the faith. Whenever temptations and trials of faith, I keep coming back to the well. Oh, I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power, sweet is the faith. Whenever temptations and trials of faith, I keep coming back to the well. Oh, I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power, sweet is the faith. Whenever temptations and trials of faith, I keep coming back to the well. Revelation chapter 6, verse 6. Then I heard something like a voice from among the four living creatures say, a quart of wheat will cost a day's pay, and three quarts of barley will cost a day's pay. But do not damage the olive oil and the wine. And a different translation. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Das ist eine dann Cross. Und die Herr, die eine Stimme unter den vier Tieren sagen, ein Maß Weizen um eine Groschen und drei Maß Gersten um eine Groschen und dem Ehl und Wein tu kein Leid. Jetzt ist Gott speaking. Don't touch that oil and that wine. Don't touch. There are certain people that you can't touch into. And it backs it up. It says, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. There's a line you do not cross. And you can't just go out there and claim that you're one of those anointed. Mm-hmm. And it backs it up with another scripture that you're the apple of God's eye. And a lot of people, they claim, they stand in the pulpit and they think that they're that apple of God's eye just because they're in the pulpit. It's because they're out there preaching. And how did they get there? Well, you can't claim that scripture unless you got a life to prove it, that you've decided to follow Jesus, and then you're going to be tested. And then when you're tested and you finally find the test, and then when God does, then he just He puts that mark on you that anybody that touches you, you touch the apple of God's eye and you're going to have to pay the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we want to kind of just continue on that same talk we had yesterday, and going a little bit deeper into the water, because there's a lot of people, they claim that, especially if they're in the pulpit, they can live a life, live like the devil, and they still claim that they're the apple of God's eye. Well, it doesn't work that way. God will put you to the test. He'll put you to the ring, and then when he finds you, he proves you, then he'll put that mark on you that whoever touches you is touching the apple of God's eye, and when he touches the apple of God's eye, he's not too pleased with it. And he's gonna have to suffer the consequences. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence, Lord. Thank you for another day of life and the many things you've done for us, Lord, and still do, and how you've protected us, and how you've done everything you could, Lord, to make sure that we have an expected end, Lord. You've moved us by your Spirit, and you helped us to be overcomers in this world, Lord. We're just not some fly-by-night here. We're just directly following what you're telling us to do. Back in the day, you told us to go up against that allowed us to see the Spirit that's behind that other right thing, and all these things. And then when we're done with that chapter, you moved us on to the next chapter, and the next, and the next, and now you qualify us to be part of that Luke is the people. That if they cross us, then they'll have to suffer the consequences. It's not something that we decided we'll do one day. We just allowed ourselves to be guided by that in your eyes. And we just pray you continue to do the same thing, Lord. We just pray continue to use us for your honor, for your glory. Help us to be overcomers in the day and hour we're living in. Do it as you see fit, Lord. Open the hearts of the people. And Lord, I pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I know people that they claim that they better not say one thing against that preacher. You better not say against that guy or this person, because they're the apple of God's eye, and it says, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. And they get up there in the pulpit and they claim that scripture for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Little do they know that before God will put that seal of approval on you, you're going to have to be tested, just
right.
Like you. Just like you and I. We were tested when the Lord allowed me to see the Spirit behind that Hutterite thing. And I couldn't support it anymore. I told my father-in-law, I'm not supporting you guys anymore. I told my dad, I'm not supporting you guys anymore. I lost my respect for you because you're twisting the scripture like a pretzel. You're supporting that dictator down in Crystal, and you approve going to court and all these things. Well, I could only take it so long, and then the Lord moved on me to step up to the plate, knowing full well it's going to cost me everything. But see, we just had to be faithful, and then he led us on into deeper water, and I just kept hanging on there, you know. Just, well, if they oust you, if they terminate you, well, you're just going to have to take it like everybody did back in biblical history, when they just stood up against these tugs and these false leaders, like back in the days of the apostles, like you were saying yesterday. They were told, don't you ever mention that name Jesus again. Well, they told them right to their face, no, we got to obey God more than man. And then finally, you know, God even opened the prison doors for them and things like that. And they said, touch not mine anointed. And then when they burned them at the stake and did everything, yeah, they went to a better place. But in the meantime, they couldn't touch them until the Lord said, okay,
right,
your time is up. I'll take you over into another chapter, into another channel.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, they had to suffer. They had to be kicked from pillar to post, just like you and I. And there came a day when you were asked, Aaron, what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to get married, or what are you going to do? And he said, no, I'll see what Jesus asked for me. And then the devil heard that, and he tested you right to the utmost. And everybody and their dog, they came along trying to take you out, trying to get you to veer you off course. But you had bound and determined. And here, lo and behold, the Lord, as time went on, he brought us together, and now we're doing this thing together, in spite of all the mockery that we have to go through and all the false accusations. We're still moving on. We're not being intimidated, and
And we still got a few miles to go, but see, we decided that we'd follow Jesus, and mm-hmm. we weren't playing the game, we were serious, and mm-hmm. one thing led to another, and finally the Lord will deal with these people that terminated me. Mm-hmm. He's got a day of reckoning coming, and there's very few left of them that were in that meeting where they decided they'll terminate me. I just left him with the door. He says, vengeance is mine. Mm-hmm. I can't exhaust all my energy trying to get even with people that do a number on us. We just say, Lord, you deal with them as you see fit. And so what God does, he gives them a chance to repent. And if they don't repent, next thing you know, they got cancer or they got some kind of a disease coming on them. And here, lo and behold, they disappear like that Michael fellow. After he was calling the shots there for a while, and I begged and I pleaded. All I want is 2 days out of the week to visit with my children. I'm not interested in your cult. Mm-hmm. I told that police officer, I'm not supporting their regime. I just want the opportunity to visit with my children. Well, it wasn't, they didn't even let me do that. And then, well, I said, Lord, you deal with these people the way you see fit. And here, lo and behold, it didn't last very long. He gets some kind of a gout in his foot, and then he dies from cancer. And all these people, like we were telling you yesterday about that Randy from Pine Creek there, I was just living 2-3 miles east of there, and then he came over to visit me, him and his friend, like I said yesterday, and he started swearing and cursing, let's get out of this damn place. And that guy's crazy. I just told him he asked me why I'm not in the colony, why I'm here, out here, living by myself. I said, well, I take a stance for what I believe, and I try to explain to them as nice as I know how, and he just up and went crazy, and let's get that guy out of here, that guy's completely crazy. And, you know, here these plagues come on these people, and they think it's just a sickness. No, it's God said, if you walk in my way and do what I want you to do, none of these diseases will come upon you. And there he crossed the line. He was going after the apple of God's eye. He was going, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. He didn't know what he was doing when he was doing that. But I just said, Lord, you heard him say that. I'm not going to take vengeance on him. I'll do whatever I can to see if I can't steer him in the right direction. And over the years, I tried to send him. I didn't send him because I know he would tear him up. But I sent his mom and his brother that Lawrence, there again, he's another piece of cake there. I met him over at the Walmart one day, that Lawrence. And I told him, Lawrence, every time I see you, you're in town here about 3 times a week, every time I see you, you're putting on more weight, and you're limping a lot more than you did the time before. Well, that's none of your damn business. Well, I said, I'm making it my business because I care about you. Well, he didn't... Here, 6 months later, he's up in jail. He just went to sleep and didn't wake up anymore. These are God's judgments on these people, and they take it so callously, and they don't even know that God's got their number because they rejected the truth. And it's the same thing today. If you reject this here truth, then that's it for you. You're just going to have to go out to hell and that because there's no other way. That's the only thing that's left in this world because we've put our life on the line. We've stood up to the plate. And we have done everything the Lord told us to do. He allowed us to see the spirit behind that Christmas thing that it's not of God. And because the early church didn't do it. Well, so we quit doing the Christmas thing. And now we're being mocked up because of it. But see, we're doing everything the Lord tells us to do. And then only then and then alone does he qualify us to be the apple of God's eye. It qualifies that scripture. God activates it, not we. We don't go up in the pulpit and expect that scripture to be activated. Our lives have to prove it. He tells us to go fast for 40 days, but we don't. We go fast for 40 days. And like you did here about a month ago, you just fast up and fasted for 40 days. And that we're just doing what the Lord tells us to do. He told us to start a website. Well, we started a website. He told everything he does, we try our level best to be faithful to what he's using us to do. And then that qualifies us to touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. We don't go out there and claim we're something that we're not. Our life has to prove it. And over and over again, we've been trying to tell people what we're doing. And then he told us to put this, like I say, start up his website and put something out there every day. That's all driven by the Lord. We're just obedient because we don't want to, we want to meet the conditions so that when the time comes and everybody's against us, that the Lord will say, okay, there's a border that you're not going to cross. Touch not mine and I to do my prophets no harm. And the apple of God's eye. But in order to do that, to be the apple of God's eye, you can't just go out there and claim you're the apple of God's eye just because you're standing in some kind of a man-made pulpit. No, your life has to prove it. You stand up against that corruption. We saw the spirit behind that outright thing. We saw it just a cult, and we started speaking up against it. At the end of the day, you're going to be terminated. Of course you'll be terminated, because that's what they do. That's what they're behind us, the spirit of Satan. We're just trying to expose these people so that they can repent and do something about it. And get off that bandwagon and let the Lord deal with them, mm-hmm. You know. That's what we're doing here.
That's right. Like, there is always a conditioning, God. Like, when it says here, the oil and the wine, that's the anointing from God mm-hmm. on a person's life, because God has predestinated to be so, and that person had to something had to be required of that person in order for that anointing to mm-hmm. be there. And you can see the life of Brother Branham, like, he was predestinated to be that vessel to bring out the message for the Laodicea Church Hour. And there's a lot of people some people that have called when he was alive that what he was saying and his teaching junk. And they called it trash and garbage. And these people, it did not go well with those people. There's one lady, she had such an excruciating pain that she ended up in the hospital. And they called Brother Branham to pray for her. But it was too late. She was already dead. Her eyes were all popped out. And that's how much pain she was in. See, that's going against the Holy Ghost. And for that's what they're doing. That anointing is from God, that Holy Spirit. And then people talk against that. And there mm-hmm. it says in the Bible, there is no forgiveness for that. If a person goes against that. And that's why it says, touch not mine anointed. God anoints that person. Like Brother Jackson, he had that anointing on him to continue on from Brother Branham. That's why those Branhamites, they will never get on the program of God, because they rejected that anointing that God had after Brother Branham. Mm-hmm. And we're just telling people the whole counsel of God and what this is all about. Like, you had to go up against that Hutterite regime. And when God saw you faithful for that, he put you into another vessel. And on it goes. And just like Abraham, God spoke to Abraham when he was in the land of the Chaldeans. And then he started venturing out from those idol-worshipping people up to Haran, and then he journeyed down to the land of Canaan. And you could see God approached him time and time again, Abraham. But it wasn't until that last, when he was willing to go to give it all, when God asked him and told him to go up to Mount Moriah and sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Mm-hmm. And that's when he went up, and God saw that he was willing to give it up all. And there was no more turning back for Abraham, because mm-hmm. God saw how faithful and he had a faith, and God could use him to bring in that, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 patriarchs. You can see how God used that genealogy line to bring in the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was born there, it was through that lineage of Judah. Mm-hmm. And you can see that how God tests a person. And when he has passed that test, then God can use them. And that's where that oil and that wine comes in, that anointing that God has on that person's life. And when people speak bad, they're speaking bad of that anointing, of that oil and wine. Mm-hmm. And then that's where judgment comes in on those people.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people that mock us and make fun of us and all that. But see, we leave them with the Lord. We don't take time out to get even, and then the Lord deal with them in His own way. Like I was telling you about that Randy, he just started a cursing for no reason at all. And here, man, the judgments of God came on him. People don't see it as something. They mm-hmm. figure it's just a disease. No, it's about God's curse on him. I had cancer, but that cancer that I had, it was from a loser. I wasn't living the way I was supposed to live. And then I had to got that cancer, but the Lord saw I'm turning around, and then that cancer couldn't hold on me, and then He called on you one day to pray for it, and that cancer couldn't leave fast enough, because I'm about the Lord's business, because the Lord tested me. He tests everybody, and then once they found faithful, like you were saying about Abraham, He didn't give him that promise when He left Ur. He tested him, and then, like you were saying, He tested him with His son, the final test. And once when He had done what the Lord wanted him to do, and He proved him, and He found him faithful, and then guess what He did? He promised them all that land, that land of Canaan, and then He made them a promise. And all that stuff. But it wasn't until He was really, truly tested. And that's the way it is with you and I. We've been tested along the road of life. We've been mocked and made fun of and all that kind of stuff. But it don't bother us. We just move right on ahead, because we want to hold on to that promise that He made. Touch not mine anoint and do my prophets no harm. And if you go out of your way to do that, I could tell you story after story about the people that harass me and terrorize me, and did everything they could at me. They're no more around. They're just not around anymore. Like the people we're talking about that they just somehow they cease to exist, or God brings judgment on them, and they get cancer, and then they up and die. And their life is cut short before mm-hmm. before they can do their thing, you know, before mm-hmm. they can fulfill the promise that God has for their life. And it's still going on today. To this very mm-hmm. day, we got our enemies, and they don't last very long, because God has a way of taking them out. Just that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and be like you know, the Hutterites, they think they can. The preachers are. The second in line to God, and you're not supposed to say anything about them. And if you do, you are condemned. But see, they're not anointed of God, these preachers.
They're just put there.
So I know, like a lot of Hutterites, they think that speaking something against this preacher is the crime of the century. And even in the group that we come out of, other, like the Benjamin Boyd, he had the same kind of a spirit on him that people are not supposed to say anything about the wrongs that they were doing and the compromising that they were made, and people should just take it and not say anything. And see, that's the spirit of Antichrist, really, if you look at it, because they don't want the laity to say anything. They are the people, the apple of God's eye, but they've proven to be unfaithful. When you would look at what they were starting to preach, and then you come to Benjamin Boyd, and he was a compromiser. One day he took a stand, and the next day it was up in smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And so how can you take these people as being anointed? Anointing is a steadfast person that does not shake and does not falter under the weight that is put on him. And he continues taking that stand, and nothing stops that person. You can see throughout the Old Testament, look at all the things that the prophets had to go through. They had that anointing on them, and everybody was against them. You look at Elijah and Elisha, how King Ahab and Jezebel, she was out to kill Elijah, and he ran up to the mountains there and to get away from her. See, those were the men that did not compromise, that mm-hmm. took a stand, And these people here, they compromised, and they, and how can you trust them with your salvation? When they can't stand for something, when a little bit of a wind comes along, they just compromise and they collapse.
The same thing with that Christmas thing. We told people why we don't celebrate it. We saw it in the scripture that it's not of God. We explained the other day why we don't celebrate Christmas. Because of that, I think a lot of abuse and all that stuff, because I refuse to recognize that Christmas, and I refuse to, we don't even recognize January 1 as the new year. We go back and do what the Bible says, that the first new moon after the spring equinox, that's when you and I, we recognize that new year. And we decided we looked in the scripture, like we're telling you the other day, why we don't celebrate Christmas. We found out that Christ's birth is somewhere about October 2 or 3, somewhere early October there, when the shepherds were out of the garden. They're not out there in the dead of winter. We explained it thoroughly. And then once we saw it in the scripture, we took a beeline, and we refused to give it recognition. Mm-hmm. Like we were saying yesterday, Christmas time, everybody's going out there and having themselves a turkey and a whatever and a drink and all that. What would we do? We fast. We don't do nothing. We don't go near that thing. And same thing with New Year. We're not going near these celebrations because they're not of the devil. They're not of God. We do what God tells us to. Mm-hmm. We know that Christmas time is a pagan thing set up by Constantine and made all the people around the world to worship the devil on that Christmas day, pretending to be Christ's birthday. And if you go back in history, see, you and I, we go back and evaluate these things. We went back into scriptures, we found it, that it's all just paganism. It's instituted not by the early church, it was instituted by Constantine, who was a Roman emperor for Romanism, and then he instituted that. From now on, we'll have celebrate Christ's birthday on December the 25th, and then it's this very same day when they did a sun worshiping thing, and then we saw that in the scripture, and we refused to go there.
That's right, and they God shows them what that Christmas was all about. Now, a lot of people, they can't follow through with it because the spirit of this Christmas has a way of drawing people in. And it's just, there's a spirit behind this Christmas thing, and it draws people in. And we decided, because of what God has walked us through, that we will not celebrate this Christmas thing. And some people, they ridicule us, and they will purposely say Merry Christmas to us just to get under our skin.
Yeah.
Just because they know we don't celebrate it. But the thing of it is, once you make up your mind, that's what you're going to do, you know, nobody can change it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know a lot of people, they can't do that because that spirit of Christmas is very strong and it draws people in. And sometimes you will listen to something on YouTube, and they will really, everything that they say about when Jesus was born and how they came up with this conclusion and everything, and then they'll point you to October is where Jesus was born. And then when it comes too close to the truth, that's when they, to a commitment, that's when they take a turn. In order to really go that extra mile, to give it everything, just like Abraham did, he gave it everything. He even wanted to, was obedient to God and to offer up his son as a sacrifice. And God stopped him because he knew he was willing to do that. We were willing to surrender it all. And these people sometimes that you listen to, they come so close and then they turn away. And then because the next step is exposing that Trinity water baptism, and where that all originated from is back in Constantine Hour, and that's where that Christmas thing was introduced with that sun god worshiping, that pagan holiday. But people come so close, and they don't want the persecution, they don't want the reproach, and they take a turn, and then what they'll say is, oh, as long as you celebrate Christ's birth, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. You see, they don't want that reproach, that shame. How could I be ashamed of him? They don't want that part, and then they veer away from it.
Yeah, it's an excuse. It's a cover. That's what it is. And see, we faced this spot on. We looked at it. We saw that's the only thing to do. And like I say, back in that day when I went up against that Hutter, I think there were very few people left that were at that meeting when they decided to terminate me for telling them the truth. They wouldn't even as much as look at it. I know we've been over it and over it, but we're just walking you through that before you can have that touch not the oil and the wine, before you can be that anointed one, before you can, the Lord will put that mark on your forehead and make sure that whoever touches you, he's going to have to deal with God. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. We don't bother taking time out to take vengeance in our own hands. They can curse us if they want. And time and time and time again, we would send these books to some people, like that preacher from Woodland. You woke up one morning, you had a dream about somebody in Woodland that were on the same page with us, and you asked me if I knew anybody from Woodland. I don't. I said, I don't know nobody personally, but I know somebody there that they were brought up in a Christian home, and that's that preacher's Johnny's wife, so we decided like when you had a dream, she's on the same page with us. She's singing the same songs we're singing. So we decided we'll send her some books. So we send them some books. And here, he just calls me up a few days later. That mattered on the ornament. And I tried to explain to him why we did it. And he just hung up the phone. And then we sent him a letter to try to explain why we sent him some books. And here, a month later, here I look, and here they buried him that day. The same thing with that boss over his summer fall. Time and time again, I tried to talk to him about the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and time again, and then one day, I sent him some books, and here he scribbled it out and sent them back. Well, once you send them back, that means you're done. You're waking yourself, you're paving yourself a way right out to hell and death. The same what happened with that, Lord from Pine Creek. I sent him some books, and then I seen him. I said, Lord, did you get the books? He said, yeah. And so what do you think of? Nothing. Mm-hmm. Don't think that now. You think you're crazy? And then I sent some to that Am over here in Northway. He was used to be in Brightstone. So I sent him some books because I run into him. But sometimes, three times a week, I'd see him down at the Canadian Tire. I didn't go and talk to him at that time because they don't want to be seen talking to me. If they could be seen talking to me, they could get into trouble. And then I just saw him, and then one day I decided, you know, I've been running into him three times this week. I'm going to send him some books. So I sent him some books and a CD or something about Jeremy's testimony and the different things. And then about a week later, I seen him over at Sobey's, so I figured I'll go talk to him, see if he got the books. I just went over and said, Amos, did you get the books? Yeah. So I said, what did you do? And throw them out? Yeah. See, he threw them out. And then 2 weeks later, it didn't take long, 2 weeks later, here his wife up and died. See, these are all God's judgment on these people that reject the truth. If you reject this truth, God can't do nothing for you. You're just going to go. That's going to pave your way out to hell and death. There's nothing we can do. We can only present this thing to you because God through. When we were 6 years old, God began to prepare us. And then he brought us to the minister, Brother Branham, to the church messenger. And then he brought us to Brother Jack. And then he prepared us for the day and hour we're living in to hold on to the truth that had been given to the church age later. See, that's all we're doing. And then we want to... we know that's the only thing that'll save people, and then we just want to help out people. And what we do, we send them some books, and if they send them back or tear them up, that's their business. They're just paving themselves a way out to hell and death. And we can see there's a lot of things we can tell people. What happens to people that reject truth? We can go into biblical history, like you're talking about that girl. She all of a sudden she decided one day she's gonna she cursed out Brother Branham for some stupid thing. And before the day was over, there she was at the hospital, her eyes popping out, and they wanted Brother Branham to come and pray for her, but it was too late. There's nothing he could do for her. She up and died before Brother Branham could even go there. But see, that's what happens to people when they curse God and they curse his prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even know that that's what, when these things come upon them, and they don't even know that God's judgment on them. Mm-hmm. That might happen today or tomorrow. For some, it happens within a week. For some, it happens sometimes it takes years. But mm-hmm. behind it, like we're talking about these people that rejected Brother Branham. It was Jimmy Swagger. He was given the message about predestination. He said, that thing is direct out of the pit of hell. And here, 2 weeks after that, he was found with a prostitute mm-hmm. in a motel room. And it was mm-hmm. his reputation was pretty well done. Yeah, he still lived to be another. He still lived mm-hmm. to be almost 90 years old. But see, when the people, they saw him, they turned the other way around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He had a few diehards, and he had a pretty big ministry, but that he lost his reputation simply by rejecting the prophet for the day.
Right.
A lot of these people did. Over and over again, we could tell you stories till from now till next year. We wouldn't even begin to scratch at the surface what God is doing to these people, because he'd walk against God's anointed, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. These people didn't just all of a sudden pop up and decide that's what they're going to do. They were handpicked by the God of heaven, and they had to go through a lot before God would put that seal of approval on, but they were predestined to do what they're doing. They had to go through a lot of heat before God could approve them, and then once he approves them, and if you talk evil about them, well, that's going to be your demise.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could go over and over, even I could mention names
mm-hmm.
left, right, and center, but see, we don't want to do that because people should learn a lesson.
That's
like
right.
I was telling you about that boss here from Sommerfeld. He sent the books back, and here, I think it didn't take maybe 3 weeks. He up and had a stroke, and then he died. Just because he rejected the truth.
Mm-hmm.
God moved on me to do that, to send him these books so he could at least go there, look at things and see if this isn't true. Wouldn't
mm-hmm.
even do that, wouldn't even open them up, wouldn't send them back, and it was it for him. He was done.
Right. It's the same way with Trump. A lot of people that go against Trump, it doesn't go well with these people because that's who God has in this hour. If people like it or not, I had this experience a while back, and it was like I woke up and to a world where there was no Trump,
mm-hmm.
and it was such an empty world. You know, this world needs Trump, and the people that come against him, that's who God has in this hour. When people come against him, it doesn't go well for them.
Amen to that. Yeah, we're just doing our job, and we're trying to be as civil as we know how, and then if people accept it, fine. If they don't, well, that's their demise. We don't
mm-hmm.
care. We're just doing our job.
That's right.
We can't do nothing else but our job
mm-hmm.
because we want to keep that oil and that wine, because if
mm-hmm.
we don't have that, what's the purpose of living?
That's right.
There's no
mm-hmm.
point in living.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that God's protection on you.
Mm-hmm.
Especially at the hour we're now living in, where all is evil, and not only for yourself, for your children, because what happens then, if you don't follow truth, what's going to happen? Your children, they go out there, and before
mm-hmm.
you know it,
no future.
There's no future for them. They get
mm-hmm.
killed or raped or things like that. You see a lot of this stuff on the news, which the news on, this girl went out walking, and then she got raped, and many times they even get killed, simply because the parents didn't do their part.
Mm-hmm.
God sent the prophet to America, and people reject that, and they got, there's only one thing left for them to do, go out to hell, and that judgment is waiting and looming
mm-hmm.
on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole world is going to have to go through, and
sure.
if they reject the invitation of the marriage supper of the Lamb, there comes that great tribulation, that there comes the day of the Lord. And at the end of all that, the Bible says, there'll be few men left. We didn't write the Bible. We're just doing our level best to try our level best to keep our head above the water and to keep our spiritual sanity. That's what we're doing. That's why we fast two times 2 days out of the week to keep, not that we're any better than anybody else, that makes us holy, but we're trying to do it to stay sensitive, because Jesus warned at the last days. He said, beware that at any time your heart will be charged with eating and drinking and the cares of this world. So we take it serious that what we do, then you just, instead of eating, you just fast or something like that. You just walk away from that food thing as much as you can. You gotta have food to survive, but you don't have to be a glutton, you know, in it. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to do the best we know how to keep our spiritual sanity for the day and hour we're living in, and to keep sensitive. Like you say, keep your limbs all trimmed and burning. We want to make it, and the Lord wants us to make it, and He's trying to help us to overcome the day and hour that we're living in. Then we're just putting it out there. If people want to come on the bandwagon, fine. If not, well, there's nothing else we can do. It says, for whosoever will. Whosoever will, let him come and drink out of the waters of life freely. Whoever is athirst. There's people out there that are thirsty. There's people that tap in, and then if they're thirsty, they're serious, then God will lead them on into deeper waters, just like He's doing with you and me. He's just leading us on wherever He wants to, and guiding us with His eyes, and we're just trying our level best to keep our spiritual sanity and to stay sensitive to what He wants us to do.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before You, give You thanks, Lord, at what You've done in this hour of time, Lord, that You've given us a way out of this place of judgment that's coming, Lord. You've helped us to prepare with the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. We're just putting it out there for people so that it's available for them to. It says to try the spirits, Lord, and that's what we did. We walked through life and we tried those spirits on the Hutterite colony, and after Brother Branham and Brother Jackson passed away, we tried those spirits to see if they're from God, Lord. And then we separated ourselves from these wrong teaching, and we took a stand, Lord, against this corruption and against the wrongs and what the devil has introduced into society, Lord. We just want to be found faithful, Lord. So we just pray, Lord, for people, and we pray that You'll give us the grace, Lord, to endure to the end. We give You thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.